I think it's a combination of things. I don't know how fast he is yet, and that's one of the last questions he has to answer on his way to wherever he's going to end up in the first round. I think what I see on tape is a tough, instinctive guy, tackles, which I love. I love a corner that will tackle. When you come out of Nick Saban's Alabama program, especially when you're a defensive back, and which Nick takes a big interest in as a former defensive back coach, you're well coached. He understands zone concepts. He plays man-to-man. He presses. He tackles. The only thing I'm not sure of is his long speed, and that's what we're going to get an answer on Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, the question was Tavon Austin, and for me, and you've heard me say 1,000 times probably, fast guys run fast, and when they, it's not a story. So I expected him to run fast, but what it does for him, I think, is this: is the worst case to me, he's a second round pick. Worst case, if you buy into him as a route runner and toughness, and that you can get enough touches every game for him, he might be a first round pick. Because again, the NFL's evolved into more and more of a college look. Spread the field, get the football in playmakers' hands, and that's what he is. He's a playmaker. He's a mismatch. I can only imagine being a nickel or a safety and having to line up across from him in a slot, knowing he runs 4.35, knowing how quick he is. So he's really a difficult matchup, and that's what this league is. So I think all that time does is just endorses exactly what we thought of him on tape.
What do you make of his
I'm sorry? I have no idea at this point, yeah. There's potential stenosis. I'm not a doctor, and the medical reports are what's more important, and teams evaluate them differently. Marcus McNeil had a potential stenosis coming out of Auburn. His career didn't last as long as people would have liked. So I don't know anything about his medical. If you take that off the board, and a month from now we'll have a better idea of what teams think about that. But right now I don't know. So if you take that off the board, I think he's a top 10 pick. He's explosive. He's quick. I love him in a 4-3. But the 3-4 teams like Pittsburgh, for instance, Pittsburgh doesn't care if you're not that tall. You know, Pittsburgh loves – look at Woodley. Look at Harrison. They're not 6'5". Okay, so different 3-4 teams look at that outside linebacker position differently. If you're not tall, if you're not long, you better be explosive. And that's what he is. So I think he's a top 10 pick if you take the medical off the board. You had.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask about Stephen Bailey. He was saying that maybe if you were 2 inches taller, he'd be considered one of the elite receivers.
Stephen Bailey's really a good football player. And again, there's questions about his size. What's he, 192 or 193, I think. How fast is he? He's probably 4.5, whatever he is. What I see is an instinctive, smart receiver that catches. He's a natural hands catcher. And because Austin and Geno Smith get all the attention, he kind of fell in the background. But if you watch him in the red zone on tape and his understanding and knowledge of route running and defenses, I think he's one of the smarter, more instinctive receivers in this draft. I'd be surprised if he gets out of the third round. The Patterson thing, it, to me, is, again, fast guys run fast, and I knew he was going to run fast. He's a height, weight, speed freak. The question is, for guys that were one-year college guys coming from 2 years of JC, is what's the history on the kid, and you better get to know the kid. That's his deal. Nobody doubts how good he is with the ball in his hands and his developmental upside as a number one receiver. What they've got to figure out is what's his work ethic. Does he love the game? Can we trust the kid? Can we trust him to develop if we draft him high? He's a top 10 guy naturally. I don't expect him to go in the top 10, though. Swope, I'd love to see that. I didn't expect him to run the time he ran. You know, I mentioned on the air, his Alabama game kind of woke me up to him a little bit, and Johnny Football helped that, of course. Got him the ball a lot on a couple secondary scrambles. But Swope ran in the 4.3s. He had 11 catches against Alabama. I got to go back and watch some more tape of him. And that's what I say. When you see a guy who you don't expect to run mid-4.3s, it forces you to go back and watch tape. And that's what I'm going to do, is spend some more time trying to figure that kid out.
Has your view on the quarterback's change?
What's that? Well, I was stunned that Bray was considered a, quote, throwing or combine quarterback and not one of the primary quarterbacks. From an arm talent perspective, he's special. I mean, he's right up there. His arm strength and arm talent is as good as anybody in this draft. He's another one of those guys where you got to figure the kid out, and there's some negatives about the kid. So every team that's interested in him is going to have to figure him out. Hunter is another gifted kid, long. Question his physicality a little bit. Question the amount of drops he had this year at Tennessee. I think he's a developmental guy, which is, I think, will knock him out of any kind of first-round consideration, at least for me. But I think he's probably a solid second-round guy. I saw everything that I saw on tape about Geno, and that is he flashed everything you want to see in a franchise quarterback on tape during the season. He's got a big arm, good arm. He moves well. He can be accurate. Everything I saw on tape, I saw here today, he's a natural thrower. He doesn't force the ball. He's a very natural thrower. What I go back to is I don't care as much about this. I'm happy he did this because it just shows me he's not afraid. I'm really happy he did this. Cam Newton did it and didn't throw the ball well, and he still was the first pick in the draft, right? So to me, it's more important what you see on tape. And I want to bang the table because I want to like Geno Smith. We interviewed him. I loved what he had to say. But there's just too many inconsistencies on tape for me to say that Kansas City or anybody that high should take him. I think he's more of like a 20 to 32 guy, and I've said that based on watching, I think, six of his games. I'm going to go watch the rest of them, but there's just so many inconsistencies with both Geno Smith and the entire quarterback class that I have trouble banging the table for any of them.
A couple of weeks ago in your marathon call, you linked Rose, the defensive back out of Florida State, to the Patriots. Have you seen anything over the last couple of days?
I wasn't trying to link him. I think somebody, it may have been you, I don't know, somebody was trying to steer me that way and say, would he fit? And I was like, yeah. I mean, New England's got corner and safety potential issues that they have to address. And when you look at this kid, he's a big corner that might be a safety. Bill Belichick values versatility. He's a big, strong, tough kid. Like most of the corners in this year's class, I don't know if he's going to run well or not. So Tuesday afternoon is a big deal for a lot of the, quote, top-rated corners because most of them are what college coaches call boundary corners. They play into the boundary. Typically, a boundary corner in college football is speed deficient but smart, tough, and instinctive. So I need to find out, as does the whole league, Banks, the Florida State kid, Trufant. How fast are these guys? We don't know yet.
Is there anyone else who stood out for you from a New England perspective over the last couple of days?
I don't look at it that way yet. To me, I'm looking at the kids, and I'm not trying to fit them to teams. We're not even into free agency yet, so I don't really fit them that way at all at this point. I love Denard today, and just because probably because seeing him play at Michigan, understanding how tough he is, I think he had 723 career rushes, which tells you how tough a kid he is. Okay, he's not a typical quarterback. He's smart. He's tough. He's quick. He ran well. He stepped up at the Senior Bowl and competed when most kids wouldn't, especially with the position change when he had that nerve issue in his arm. So he's a kid I root for, and I thought he came out today, and I was happy he ran a good 40. It looked like he caught the ball pretty well, and that's what you got to figure out. How natural of a catcher is he? Because I think what you want him to be is a slot receiver and a return guy. And if you believe in his ability to catch the football and his work ethic to go out and learn how to run routes, then that'll drive his value. I can't tell that over. I mean, I hardly even saw him at the Senior Bowl because he was hurt. I just thought he looked pretty good today.
What kind of quarterback will DJ Hayden be?
DJ Hayden? I haven't even looked at DJ Hayden. Yeah. The important thing for Armstead is the process, and it's less about running 4.71 and more about having a real good week at the East-West game, which he did. He's got a lot of upside. He's raw as can be, and that's why he's not going to see. You're not going to run up and say, I'm taking him in the first round. He's very, very raw, but I think he's got the skill set to be a starting left tackle. So the process is important to him, and he's doing all the right things. I've said several times, if you're a playoff team this year, you're laughing. Because there's so much depth to this thing that I think if you're drafting 20 to 30, it's not a whole lot different than the fifth or sixth pick. So for me, if you're a playoff team, boy, you're just sitting back going, hey, this is pretty good. And if you're a top 10 team, and look at the difference. It's just it's so stark, the difference between Ryan Grigson in this building a year ago as a first-time GM with a new coach, and he's got RG3 and Luck to choose from. And now in Kansas City, Andy Reid and John Dorsey, new coach, new GM, there's not a quarterback in sight, probably, at that point. So it's a whole different level at the top end and the bottom end here. Yeah. I like him. I think he's probably a best fit as a 5 technique, which is a defensive end and a 3-4. At UCLA on defense, they did a lot of things. They moved him around. He played nose. He played the 3 technique. He played the 5. So I love his versatility. I think from his height, weight perspective, what he is that defensive end and a 3-4. I've got a second-round grade on him. I'm sorry? There's a bunch of guys that are going to have to play. And one of the things about today's defenders, I think, is their versatility. I mean, I could show you my defensive end list, and there's a whole bunch of different, like Margus Hunt. What is he? Is he a 4-3 end, or is he a 3-4-5 technique? You can go DeMontre Moore. Is he 3-4 outside linebacker, or is he 4-3 base end? What's Mingo going to be? Bjorn Warner, he's the prototype 4-3 defensive end. You can go right down the list and just say, you know, Sharif Floyd, to me, might be the best player, you know, one of the best two or three players in this draft. But where are you going to line them up?
The surgeries for Deion Jordan and D. Milner, is that going to affect their style?
I don't think so, as long as, and again, 32 teams view medical results in 32 different ways. And I think Deion Jordan and Milner held off just so they could compete at the combine. They're going to do everything but the bench, I think. So I respect them for that, and as long as it's the minor surgery that apparently it is, I don't think it's going to affect them at all. Deion Jordan's a guy to me that's had trouble putting and keeping weight on, and part of the problem has been that shoulder. So if you want to like Deion Jordan, and I do, I think Deion Jordan could be an Alden Smith-type defensive player, but he's got to put 20 pounds on, and I think to do that he's got to get the shoulder right. He's a gifted guy. I don't think he ran as fast as he had hoped to today. Yeah, you put his tape on against Oregon at Tennessee Tech, and you go, wow. You know, I mean, he caught 4 or 5 balls early against a team way better than them, and they double-teamed him the rest of the way. He's got some drops on tape. He's a gifted kid, but your preface to the question is the more important thing is how do you figure – you got to figure the kid out. He's had some significant off-the-field question marks, and that's going to hurt his value. I already thought the gap was closed, to be honest with you. I thought Eric Fisher closed the gap at the Senior Bowl. I loved him on the Michigan State tape before the Senior Bowl, and for me, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Jokel and Fisher. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can he be that number one pick
potentially? I just said I don't see a whole lot of difference. So, if Jokel's a number one pick, he could be too. The two guards are really special. Two or three defensive tackles. So to me, I've got like 7. If I project a top 10, and not for draft purposes, just the 7 best players I've seen, 4 of them are offensive linemen and 3 of them are defensive linemen. And I know it pisses all of you off because that's not very sexy, but that's the way it is. I think Lane Johnson just kind of jumps off. I mean, are you kidding me? We said on the air today his 40-yard dash time was faster than Anquan Boldin. His vertical – I'm serious, at the combine. His vertical of 34 inches was the same as A.J. Green. Think about this, okay? This is an offensive tackle of 300-plus pounds. He ran faster than Anquan Boldin. He jumped the same as A.J. Green. And his broad jump at 9 feet 10 inches was the same as Stephen Ridley. Think about those 3 things for a 300-pound offensive tackle and then put that in perspective with what he can be. And I think what was most important is at the Senior Bowl he had a good solid week. So if you look at Lane Johnson's tape week 1 at Oklahoma versus the end of the year, it's very different. And I think this is a guy who sky's the limit. So, again, we're talking offensive tackles and depth, and to me that's where this class is O-line and D-line.